Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, I have an exciting topic to talk about today. And that is, adversity is a gift. You know, adversity can really bring the best out of anybody. It really does. It has the ability to draw out the best in you. And I love Thomas Edison. He had to try 1,000 times of prototypes before finding the filament that would sustain long-lasting light, that it would stay lit up. And his response to people telling him, you know, why don't you just give up? Come on, you haven't done it 1,000 times and it hasn't worked. And this is what he said: I haven't failed. I just found 10,000 ways that don't work. And I'm like, that's a great perspective. I just found 10,000 ways it just does not work in lighting a light bulb. And so in that, as we talk about adversity today, it is all about perspective. It's all about what you're going through, but what it's doing for you. And in that, sometimes adversity brings out the best in all of us. And, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So there's a reality that adversity and challenges and difficulties and hardships are not bad. If we can see them as something that God is using to produce gold on the inside of you. You know, God is a good miner. He's looking for gold on the inside of you. And he's trying to draw it out. So I want us to look at Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. This is an incredible portion of scripture that shows Paul's life in that the challenges and struggles that he was going through, as well as Barnabas, as they were preaching the gospel. On his missionary journeys, as Paul was going out, he faced a lot of difficult things. So I want to jump into Acts 14, verses 1. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together, and they spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it, and they fled to the cities of Laconia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And this man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well. You know, faith has a look. And the scripture says that that salvation, that the message of the good news of the gospel is what saves men. So, in the preaching of the gospel, faith comes to people's hearts when they hear the good news. And when he looked at his faith, he saw something that showed confidence, I believe, I got it, it's mine. Faith has a look. And when he looked on this guy's face, he said, he's got faith. And then all of a sudden, he declares to him, and he said with a loud voice, stand up. Stand up on your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. Because faith activates the promises of God. Faith releases the power of God to do great works. And now the people were so amazed at what happened to this guy that they began to cry out that Paul and Barnabas, they must be gods. The gods that have come down to earth to give us these great signs. And then Paul and Barnabas ran out and they tore their clothes and like, no, no, we are mere humans. We don't have any power. It's all God. And then in that, they realized that then they were getting ready to make a sacrifice for him. You know, let's sacrifice a cow to these gods. And they're like, no, stop it, stop it. So they left and because they realized, you know, this is not about us. This is all about him. So they left that area and they came to another town. And when they came to that town, they began to share and proclaim the gospel in this other town. And all of a sudden, the bullies from Lystra and the other cities in the region, the ones that wanted to stone Paul and Barnabas, all of a sudden showed up in the town. You know, the bad boys are in town to go after them again. And these guys wanted to stone them and stir up trouble. So let's look at verse 19 through 22. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. This is the area that they wanted to stone them. And having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul. And they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. And the next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Do you realize what they just did? Paul is stoned. And they thought, I mean, the disciples were standing around him saying, man, this is not good. He's dead. They thought he was dead. They're standing over him, and they thought he was dead. And then all of a sudden, he gets up. He stands up, and he walks back into the city, into the area with the people that had just stoned him. And not only did he go back to that city, it says he went back to the very city where they orchestrated this whole thing in Antioch and Iconium and Antioch. And they went back there for a purpose, to show the people that all things are possible with God. With him, nothing is impossible. Even if you get knocked down to the point where you look dead, it isn't over with yet. And so they went there in verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, other translations say hardships, adversities, through many adversities, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that a little unusual to encourage one another to say, brothers and sisters, through hardships, through adversities, through difficult times, we enter the kingdom. I didn't see many of you get too excited about that. But they discovered a key in this understanding that there's an element that through these hardships and adversity, we enter into something. So, and I believe that they discovered something that we can actually welcome into our lives. And what I believe they discovered is that adversity really is a gift. It's an invitation that opens a door into a deeper place with God. Hardships can be doorways into the kingdom realm, where you are solely dependent upon Him to help you where no one else can, but the power of the living God. And you're accessing through the adversity and you're pressing in to something that is available to you. I want to show a video here if we can. If we could pull that up and turn off the lights in the back just for a minute. Everybody here seen Narnia many years ago? Okay, we're going to watch Lucy as she discovers something very special. Adversity, I want you to see adversity is like a doorway into another realm, into another kingdom. Where Lucy discovered that going through the closet, going through the door, she went into another realm that opened up Narnia, where the lion of the tribe of Judah was ruler, and his name was Aslan. The reality is that when we go through adversity, we need to be opportunist. It's all about perspective. How do you perceive hardship? Can you determine in your heart that I'm going to walk through this and I'm not going to be stuck in this? And so it's all about if we perceive it that it's something bad, you know, it's going to be bad. But if we can actually see that God can actually take a very difficult, hard situation and can work everything together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. Now, I'm not implying that you must go through the same adversity that Paul and Barnabas went through to discover the kingdom. You don't have to be stoned to death and laying there dead and then get up to discover this realm. Because Paul's adversity was something God destined for him to go through. It was foretold to him that he would suffer. So adversity is relative to the person and their calling. So what is difficult for one person is not to another person. Adversity to one could look like strife or challenges at work, hardship in your finances, the loss of a loved one, difficulties in your relationships that just breaks your heart. So adversity is relative to your life and calling. So it doesn't have to look like Paul's. And the kingdom that they are implying is not a future heavenly kingdom where we will all live forever and ever one day with our Lord and Savior. But it's the benefits of the kingdom in the here and now. And it's a kingdom realm, and that is presently accessible to all of us. We can all have access into this kingdom realm because we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of his beloved son. And Jesus instructs, you know, his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we can actually, God is inviting us to experience the realm of his kingdom in the here and now. But sooner or later, we will all face adversity. Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So it's not about if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. But it's important that we respond to it the right way, that we look at things the right way. How do you view hardship? How you view hardship will determine how you respond to it and how you will go through it. I love what Graham Cook says. The very circumstances that you find yourself consistently struggling in are the very areas that God wants to give you a spiritual upgrade. Think about that. But it's important to look at adversities and hardships as James did. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that it's producing something in you that makes you perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. There's something that it's doing on the inside of you, this gold. And you can't buy this. This is gold that's purified in the fire on the inside of you. But it's our choice if we want to go through the door of adversity into the realm of the kingdom. It is our choice. Luke 21:19 says this. By your patience, and I want to put in there parentheses, endurance through adversity, you possess your souls. You become strengthened in your mind, your will, and your emotions. As you stand firm with patience, patient endurance, you will discover your soul's deliverance. You will be lifted up above your circumstances. So sooner or later, we are all confronted with adversity at different levels. But how one responds will vary from one person to the next. There are those that will respond by going inward for protection, to feel safe. You shut the door to the outside. You're like, okay, this isn't fun. I'm going inward. And I'm not going to let anybody get close to my heart. Or there's those that would beat themselves up on the inside thinking that you're the problem, thinking that you've done something wrong to cause adversity in your life. Or there's those that lash out in anger over the situation. You're going to fight. You don't want to go through this thing. You're going to fight your way out. You're going to be the meanest, baddest individual there is. Or there's some that just might give up on life and just not even choose to go through life. And then there are those that have learned the secret of running into God and not away from him. You've learned to run into the storm and not away from the storm. I believe the only way to avoid the oppression that we're experiencing in this age, in this time, is to press into the realm of God's kingdom where we experience the power of Almighty God. Let's look at Luke 16, 16. Turn with me there. Luke 16, 16. It says this, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. I want you to ask yourself, what was so important about the good news of the kingdom that was causing everyone to press into it? There had to be something good about it that was causing everyone to press into it, not away from it, run into it. And what are they going after that is so appealing? What are they looking for? And is this possibly why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Is that why he said, seek first the kingdom? We will discover what we're looking for in 1 Corinthians 4:20. I want you to look there. This is a key that you know that you're going into, what you're going into as you press into the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Adversity is a doorway into God's kingdom power. So we are to see our challenges as an opportunity to enter in to the supernatural power where we find help in our situation. Because when adversity and hardship strikes, the one thing that a lot of times we feel powerless, don't we? We feel like, how in the world are we going to make it through this? How are we going to make it? Well, the reality is that we need help. And we need to remember that when Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. We are entering into a kingdom realm, just like Lucy entered in through the gate, the door, into a realm that was another kingdom that was ruled by a lion who roars and is all-powerful and is able to come to your aid, just like Aslan came to Lucy's aid many times. So I believe the secret to which Paul was able to rise up after being stoned to death, they thought he was dead, and walk back into the city to face the people that stoned him, this key is found in Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. Look with me there. Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It takes the power of God, even for faith, to dwell and stay resident and active within your own heart. Do you realize that? It takes God's power for us to even to stay in faith, to believe in the impossible, to believe that all things are possible, that God can work everything together for good in your life. It takes the power of God even for you to walk in faith. What was the one thing that Paul said at the end of his life? I fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Because there was so much adversity that was coming against him, but it was God's power that sustained him to run the race all the way to the end. And then it says this, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, verse 20. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Do you see it? It is the power of God inside Paul that rose him up as he laid there in a heap. They thought he was dead. I mean, his disciples said, man, that dude got it bad. I mean, they're looking at him like, wow, he's dead. And then all of a sudden it says he gets up. And then he goes right back into the city. Like, bring it on. I'm here to declare the good news of Jesus. And in that, the resurrection power that dwelled within Paul rose him up at that moment, and he was able to keep going and declaring the good news even to his enemies because of the power of God enabled him not to give up, but to keep going. And I think that's what is so important that we need to remember today. We can't give up. We've got to keep going, but we got to be pressing in to the very essence of the power source that's going to help us keep going. So in that, we are going into the realm of the kingdom, which the kingdom is here right now. I don't know if y'all know that. The kingdom of God is here right now. So there's two realms of it. The kingdom can come upon you because it says in Scripture, Jesus says, you know, when they said, if you cast out demons, you know, by his name, he said, know that the kingdom of God has first come upon you. And also we know that the kingdom of God dwells where? Within us. So it's upon you and it's in you. It's a realm that is here right now. So even in this natural realm, we can still access the heavenly realm of his kingdom right here in the here and now. That's just like Narnia. You're going in, all of a sudden, you're in one room, you go through a closet, and like, whoo, where am I? I'm in another place. So the reality is, Paul writes about this very theme also. Let's just look back at it. In the opening chapter of Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, this is the key, what we got to realize. Because we in of ourselves have no strength and ability to make it through our adversities. We've got to tap into the source. We've got to press into the realm of the kingdom. And that is really going into the kingdom with a very humble and dependent heart. We can't do anything. And so having a heart that realizes, apart from you, Jesus, I can do absolutely nothing. You know, when Jesus was talked about, there was a rich man ruler, and basically he wanted to be a part of his ministry and follow him. And Jesus says something very challenging. He says, it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. What was he saying? Well, when I was in Bethlehem at one of the synagogues, there is what is called an eye of a needle on the side of the synagogue, which was an entry point for camels. And so in that, and it was only about this high, and it was a small door. And I'm like, them poor camels, how in the world do you get through that little door? I mean, it's just like, so, you know, it's interesting. They had camels in the synagogue. But the reality is that they had to strip the camel of everything. They had to take the saddle off the top of the camel's back. They had to take all everything that was on top of the camel. They had to take off of the camel just so the camel could get through the eye of the needle. It's called the eye of the needle. So in that, I mean, the camel's coming into the synagogue naked. He doesn't have anything on. And in some ways, when we are going into the kingdom, it's we're so humbly dependent upon Almighty God's power to be available to us, to help us in that situation, that we know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. You in and of yourself are not going to be able to make it through adversity. It is going to have to be God and God alone, and you're accessing His power through faith that is beginning to work together a miracle for you in your life. So this is what Paul said in Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, this is really spiritual enlightenment is understanding a mystery. Paul's trying to unpack the mysterion of God, a mystery that was revealed to him, so that you will know what is the hope of the calling of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Do you know the same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you? But the question is, are you accessing that power? Are you in the kingdom realm that consists of power? I love Abraham Lincoln. When I read about his life, the guy just did not quit. Even though he faced some of the greatest adversity, he is probably one of the greatest examples of someone that was persistent and made it through adversity in modern day history. I'm going to read you some of the things of Abraham Lincoln. He was born into poverty. Lincoln was faced with defeat throughout his life. He lost 8 elections. What about that? 8 elections. Twice failed in business and suffered a nervous breakdown. And he could have quit many times, but he didn't, because he didn't quit. He became one of the greatest presidents in the history of our country. And Lincoln really, he was a champion because he never gave up. Now, I want to read this to you. 1860, his family was forced out of their home and he had to work to support them. In 1818, his mother died. 1831, failed business. 1832, ran for state legislature and lost. 1832, also lost his job and wanted to go to law school, but he couldn't get in. 1833, borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off this debt. 1834, he ran for state legislature and won again. 1835, was engaged to be married. His sweetheart died, and his heart was broken. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. 1838, he sought to become Speaker of the state legislature, and he was defeated. 1840, sought to become elector, defeated. 1843, ran for Congress, lost. 1846, ran for Congress again. This time he won. He went to Washington and he did a good job. 1848, ran for re-election to Congress, lost. 1849, sought the job of land officer in his home state, rejected. 1854, ran for Senate of the United States, he lost. 1856, sought the vice presidential nomination at his party's national convention. He got less than 100 votes. 1858, ran for U.S. Senate again. Again, he lost. Come on! In 1860, elected president of the United States of America. Come on! He did not give up. He did not quit. And in that, he was able to be president of the United States. Proverbs 17:70 says, "You were born for adversity." Isn't that? I didn't say it. Proverbs 17:70 says, "This is what you were made for. You were born for because the scripture's declaring you were made to go through it. You were made to access God and see the victory. You have God-given makeup on the inside to walk through it. And the good news is that adversity does not have an expiration date. It will not last forever. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So it says, after you've suffered for a little while, adversity will not last forever. It does have an expiration date. But those that try to go through adversity of life in their own strength will collapse under the pressure. I mean, God's created the happy times, the hard times, and you can never predict which one's going to come your way. So you can't control your life. You can't say, I'm not going to have any adversity in my life. But he's created you to be dependent on him to make it through it. And those that try to face the storms of life alone will crumble. But one thing is for sure, we need each other. When facing challenging times, it says in Proverbs 17:17. I love what this says. A friend is always a friend, and relatives and brothers and sisters are born to share troubles. We are made to come around each other. We are made to hold each other's hands in the storms that move in. But those that try to go at it alone will faint under the pressure. Proverbs 24:10 says this, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." God has made it so that when adversity strikes, our first response should be to run into him. David says in Psalm 121, "In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me." David knew how to run into God and not away from God when hardship came his way. And one of the beautiful ways that our bodies are made is when one aspect of our body is hurting or is infected or not working properly. It's amazing how God has made our bodies, but what your body system does is it rallies to bring healing to that one area in your body. So if you have an infection in your body, your whole body is working to rally and restore that area in your body. So when adversity strikes a person in our body, our job is to rally around that person. Our job is to come around each and every one and to help them, to encourage them, to pray for them, to impart their faith to them. Because when Jesus, when those individuals were lowering down, they busted open the roof and they were lowering down that paralyzed man on a stretcher, those individuals, basically, as they were lowering them down, they were doing it in faith. And Jesus, in his response to healing that lame man on the stretcher, he says, because of their faith, he was made well. And so in that, we are to lend our faith to one another. We are to encourage one another while it's still called today. We are to come around each other. And in that, we are entering into the kingdom realm where we are accessing unlimited power that is available to us to make all things possible in your life. And that is that we might stand together through troubled times. And you know, this place is not to be a gossip center for the world to know our stuff. But you know what? Love covers. We cover each other in love. We don't go around just talking about everybody's business. We cover. We love. And love just kind of puts a blanket over each and every one as we stand with each other in adversity, believing that God's power is going to see each of us through it. You know, in the adversities and challenges that I go through in life, and that what Eliza goes through in life, I'm discovering for the first time that there is a realm that I am just choosing to run into, and I'm being embraced by my Father's love. And sometimes, you know, as children, we can't understand everything and we don't know how to fix everything. And there's sometimes you just need to run into your papa's arms and just get a big hug. And as you run into him and let his love embrace you, it is the strength of a father's love that begins to flow through you. A father's strength and love, you can't compare it. The strength of our Father's love is unlimited, and his power is available to assist us, because there's many things that we go through in life that just don't make sense. I'm like, come on, this seems like a curveball from hell, and I can't figure it out. But I just know there's one person that can help me through the whole thing, and that's my Father. And I want to be in my Father's kingdom where his power is available, where he's able to turn everything on a dime and make everything right again. And my heart for this church is that I know at different levels, you know, we don't have to be going through the adversity that Paul went through for it to be called adversity, because that's just relative. Adversity is relative to who you are and your calling as a person. But the reality is what you're going through is real, hard, and challenging. And it is okay to express with your brothers and sisters, I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through a very difficult time, and I need help. Encouragement. I need prayer. And so I want us to be a church that rallies around each other. and we access an unlimited power source that is available where God can make everything right. Amen? Amen. I want you just to stand with me. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would open the eyes of our hearts. That, Father, you would open the eyes of our hearts to see in a realm and understand that the kingdom is available to all of us. I ask, God, that your kingdom realm would become evident to all of us. And it would be something that we would all want to be pressing into, just like the early church that heard the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And it says everyone was pressing into it. So, Lord, today we choose to lay everything down at your feet. And we want to enter in by faith into the realm, Father, of your glorious kingdom where all power is available to us. Father, I'm asking that you would open up the eyes of our hearts that we would see that there is another realm, even in this natural realm, that there is a wheel within a wheel, that there is another realm that we can access that provides help. Help to us in present need. So, Father, I'm asking now that, Father, you would reach each and every one. And I'm asking that you would strengthen the arms, strengthen the legs, strengthen the feet of everyone here. That we might all be able to run the race set before us. That we might not grow weary in well-doing. That we might rise up in you, Lord Jesus, and be embraced and encouraged by your power flowing into our lives. Father, I'm asking now that you would encourage each and every one that the best days are ahead, that things are not over with, that, Lord, you're working together everything for good to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. So, Father, I'm asking that your kingdom come. I'm asking that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in everyone's life in this room. And, Father, I thank you and I praise you. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, God, I praise you. Let the greatness arise in each and every one here. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.